are back. This is pod number 5.
I think it's 5, yeah.
And firstly, I'd just like to thank everyone who's given us some feedback over the past while, whether that be to my face or online, which hasn't happened at all. What about you, Matt?
No.
We've got no online feedback.
I've had to quit my job to deal with all the feedback.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah. Amazing. I had a really high-powered job, and now I'm just looking at reading feedback.
Oh, that's amazing news, Matt. Anyway, yeah, so, yeah, just like we're recording this on the 4th of July, anyway, which is a very special day for Americans. And on that note, it was brought to my attention that I called every American an asshole or something along those lines.
Little bit broad, you know.
Do you remember that? Because
I do. Yeah.
All right. Okay. What episode was that?
One, I think.
Okay.
You're in review.
Yeah, that's a bad.
We didn't really know what we were doing.
Yeah,
because we do now.
And yeah, we're getting a little bit better, but you know, it's meant to be a bit tongue in cheek anyway. So maybe episode one wasn't the place to do that.
Yeah.
So I'd like to take this opportunity on the 4th of July to apologize to all our potential American listeners. I'm really sorry.
Happy Turkey Day.
Woo. Okay. So, what's been happening since our last one? It's been 2 weeks. We said we'd do one every week.
Yeah. Stuff happens, you know. Sun happened.
We're in the middle of the longest heat wave in 40 years, I heard a man in a cafe saying.
Which cafe?
That would require sponsorship of some kind, I'm sure.
Why'd you start rattling off cafe names?
Dwarf Jar, which I frequent
really?
Often enough.
Really?
Oh, they do a nice flat white.
I would have thought if you gave me 3 or 4 guesses, I would have got it, but I would not have guessed Dwarf Jar.
Well, it's right really close to where I work.
Oh,
so.
Right. Okay. Yeah, okay. Fair enough.
Yeah, I like Dwarf Jar, and I like Tamp and Stitch, if we're going to just throw out random.
Stitch? I heard Dwarf Jar, they do something controversial in Ireland. They do different sizes of flat white.
They do. They offer you large flat white.
That's how they do it in, you know, New Zealand or Australia, whichever the place is that invented the flat white.
New Zealand, I heard. You were told otherwise. I think we've talked too much about coffee already. Anyway, sorry. America, again. 4th of July, boom, boom, boom. Yeah. First Nations, let's remember those today as well. Because they were there first.
They were indeed.
So what else is going on in America? The child internment camps news hit a couple of weeks ago, just after we did the last podcast. And this is really horrific stuff. It's where people are being deported from America, are not allowed in, and they're separating them from their families and putting children in cages.
Yeah.
Literally. In cages.
There's some probably in the future will be very iconic photographs that will probably always be forever kind of attached to Trump, you know, the kids crying in the cages. Yeah, it's a pretty crazy disgusting shit, right? But has he since backed off on that, or like,
well, who really knows, like, you know. I mean, you have to. Like, they did leave the UN Human Rights Council as well, didn't they? So, I mean, that was just before this news broke. They left that. But anyway, sort it out, America. We do like you, you know? Especially one man. One man is possibly my favorite American.
Steven Seagal? Chuck Norris.
Is Steven Seagal American?
Well, he's not really human, I don't think.
Okay.
He's more,
is he
of,
American,
he's more of an
though?
Entity. No, yeah. He is. I'm pretty sure he is. I'm sure he's 1/16th Apache or Cherokee or something like that.
Okay. Well, it's not him anyway.
Who is it?
It is Steve Albini.
Oh, Steve.
Who someone posted recently a picture of him, and supposedly along with being a top producer, he is also,
you wouldn't like that word now,
he's a top recording engineer.
There you go.
Is that better?
That's much better.
Who has written a really great essay. Do you remember that years ago he wrote That essay. Check that out. But yeah, he won a poker, a seven card stud poker. World Series trophy, and beating over 300 other players.
105 grand, I think it was, and a really gross gold bracelet.
Yeah, they give out the gross. You know, I used to be a croupier. It's
I love the fact that you're a croupier. It gives me a lot of joy.
Why?
I don't know. I just think it's funny you dealing cards in a casino.
Oh man, it's sick, sad world
in Carlo.
Yeah. Oh yeah, Carlo, and also around the country, Matt. You know, I've dealt in big places like Killarney.
Oh well, God.
Clonmel.
Oh wow. Yeah.
Newbridge. Jeez, I mean, I've been all over.
All the biggies. Jesus. But yeah, so we'll probably start off the...
But yeah, no, what we're going to do, because he won a poker thing, we're going to celebrate the work.
Yes.
He's done. We haven't said that, have we?
No.
But yeah, we're going to celebrate it by playing like albums he's recorded or EPs he's recorded by various things or, you know... Matt,
yeah,
maybe his own music. I don't know.
Yeah, well, I think we'll maybe just start off with, well, like, I think everybody, well, maybe people will probably know him for different things, but I suppose I, and possibly you as well, would have first come to know him through Big Black, Shellac, and those kind of bands. But so we're going to start off one of those songs, but then maybe get a different kind of flavor of the other stuff he's done as well. But like, yeah,
okay, let's have some music.
Yeah, okay, this is Billiard Player Song by Shellac.
You.
Stick upon the ground, it almost fly like the rain.
Okay, that was Billiard Player Song by Shellac. That's my favourite Shellac song, I think. Well, standalone, you know, singly type song. I don't think it's on. I think it's a single. Yeah.
Oh, okay. But a single. That's a bit weird for them, isn't it?
I think it's on a 7-inch or something like that. I'm not sure.
All right. Okay.
But it's good anyway. Yeah. So World Cup Fever Part 2.
World Cup. We touched on the World Cup a little bit last time, didn't we?
Yeah.
And now I suppose a lot of it has happened in the last 2 weeks since we recorded. So loads of people our teams have got knocked out
today,
and shit.
Today's the 4th of July, as we're saying. So we watched England win last night, which was really tough going.
It was deflating, I would say.
Yeah, yeah, it was. That's the best word for it.
Took the wind out of my sails.
Yeah, it was gross.
But yeah, so a lot of, I suppose there's been a lot of talk, or not a lot of talk, about the drugs thing again, and we have to bring it up. I think we did talk about this, though.
In football?
Did we?
I don't know.
Anyway, let's talk about it again. Drugs in football. The Russians won their first two games, and, you know, I think they had, like, they had loads of players in, people who'd run the most, and they're definitely all on drugs.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, and, like, Russia never should have even had the World Cup, because they've been suppressing the knowledge of the doping thing, which came out through Icarus and stuff.
That's a documentary.
The documentary Icarus, which is on Netflix. And, like, if any of that had come out, like, there was football players doping. They're on the list, you know?
Yeah. So,
if a whole country is guilty of doping, all, like, a lot of their top stars.
Yeah.
How can they be allowed to hold a major international event?
I do feel really, really bad for clean Russian athletes, though. Because, like, I mean, there's probably less of them than there is ones that are doping, is there, at this stage?
I don't know.
Judging by that documentary, it seems like it was, like, really, like, sort of across the board, everybody is juiced, and it was state-sponsored type thing.
It very, very rarely comes up in football, like, where, you know, I mean, it would have a massive advantage, because football
just running
is
forever.
About, yeah, like, if you are fitter or can run more and do more sprints and stuff, you're going to be better at football.
Yeah, they're like, I mean,
but no one ever really gets done for shit. Like, I mean, you have Maradona or someone who gets done for coke, but that's not like that's not a performance enhancer.
Domine Neymar, that guy's the star of the show so far.
Does Neymar make you hate Brazil?
He makes me hate football.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't really like football.
Very annoying.
That much anyway. Yeah. It's been kind of this, like football is grand and all that, but, like, you know, it's only gotten really interesting now, the World Cup, with like all the penalties and all the heartbreak and drama, which is gas. But
watching grown men cry, is there anything better?
Yeah, but like Neymar is particularly bad, but England were awful as well. Where it's just, it's really, really hard to watch grown men sort of flop to the ground when someone, like, touches them. And I mean, it's weird that, like it's, I still find it like funny / infuriating all the time, because I can't, you know, people are just like, you know, this is the way football is, that this is what it's become, this is the modern game and all that. But, like, I can't sort of see past the fact that how ridiculous it looks, you know, because it's
shameful.
It's
really
gross to watch.
I mean, like if these are, what are they, like, are these meant to, if kids are watching, isn't that what everyone says? If kids are watching this, it's a it's a very bad future we're laying out here.
I've seen kids no more than 10 dive in, like, playing football matches.
Oh, God.
And it's so good. Well, it's kind of funny, but it's so gross as well, you know, it's rotten.
Well, I mean, growing up, like, that's the last thing you'd be doing, like, you know. And Messi, I suppose, he's kind of famous for not going down a lot of the time, especially earlier in his career. You know, he'd be getting kicked and he'd be like try and keep his balance as much as he could, because he could just run past anyone, you know?
It's
like, that's what you want to see, and that's the stuff. Like, you know, there needs to be a bit of toughness in it. Like, the slightest touches, it makes it really hard to watch. And they were supposed to stamp it out because the American audience, again,
hi,
America,
guys.
4th of July. Hey. don't like it. It turns them off football, and they're damn right.
Yeah, like, I remember listening to the Joe Rogan podcast and him watching videos of soccer players diving and him just being in convulsions laughing. Mm. because it is funny, like because we're overexposed to it, and we see it all the time, because, you know, football is always on TV. It's a really popular sport here. It must be like fourth or fifth or sixth most popular in America, surely.
Oh yeah, I'd say it's down the list. It's behind the big three anyway.
Yeah, but they're
maybe four.
Yeah, basketball, American football, ice hockey, baseball.
Yeah, like they're going to be ahead.
Yeah, surely.
But it's definitely growing in, you know, whatever support in America.
They pay people a lot of money. I mean, like they pay people a fortune over there. I presume I wouldn't really know, but it's probably doesn't even compare to quality.
Very
wise,
very different system, actually, because it's in the American system where they're all only have a certain amount of budget and all. So there's no, like, one club has loads of money. So then it's how you decide to spend your money. So you could, like, buy one big player, which they usually buy an aging star from a European club, blah, and pay them loads.
Gerard Rooney, one of those kind of...
Gerard Rooney, yeah. the famous.
Gerard / Rooney.
A Gerard. Isn't that what you say in football? You say a Gerard.
Yeah, a Rooney. Guile.
Something Guile.
Yeah, he's got Guile.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that's some probably like that. Enough football. Anyway, fuck. Football, World Cup, they're all on drugs.
Yeah,
we're not on drugs.
Check out Icarus.
We're also not on
interesting.
At the World Cup. But yeah, I'd say let's just play.
Do a tune.
Tunes, yeah. So yeah, Albini. Here we go.
Albini, yeah. So
what we got on this?
PJ Harvey did.
Ooh.
Did some work with Steve Albini. I think it's our first album. Rid of Me is the name of the album. And
you think or you know? Because we're really, really, really well researched.
Oh my god. it is her first album. I'm going to go with it is her first album.
That's it.
And it's the name of the album is Rid of Me and the name of the song is Rid of Me.
Day. I'm make you lick my injured face. I'm gonna twist your head off, say, till you say, don't you wish you never.
Okay, yeah, so that was PJ Harvey there, another Albini produced, and you already pulled me up on saying he wouldn't call himself a producer.
No, I think the analogy he uses is like, if he was a plumber, you wouldn't pay him, some analogy about plumbing, and he's like kind of saying, you know, I do a job for you, so you don't pay me every year. That, you know, your pipes don't rot and fall away.
Yeah, yeah.
So he's like, I do the job. I'm a technician, and when it's done, it's done. That's it. So the cool thing about that is that, you know, in the 80s and 90s, you had the likes of him. You know, you had him recording people like the Pixies, the Breeders, did a couple of Jesus Lizard albums, Superchunk, and then like had the big ones like, you know, Nirvana and Low as well. That's a really good album. Things We Lost in the Fire. But like the thing about him being a technician, and he doesn't really charge exorbitant amounts of money to
he's
work.
He's got
with
like
him.
A flat rate.
Yeah, exactly.
Basically,
yeah,
doesn't he? He's so, like, here, hi, I'm a guy who's got the studio here. This is how much it costs.
Yeah, so you rent him, you rent a studio, and he just does the job. I don't think he tries to bring any sort of elitism into it. He's just, if you can pay me, then I can be your guy, you know,
which is absolutely amazing.
Yeah, it's incredible
for small bands, or you know,
yeah,
whoever.
And we're gonna play some Irish bands, because some Irish bands have gotten over there, one at least that we know personally, but who are since defunct, but like
who, so, I don't know actually, but yeah, I think I know some of the people in it, but.
Yeah, you would do, but yeah, so if you're able to get to Chicago, like then you can work with Steve Albini if you book him in, you know. It's just that, so
you just got to book his time. It's absolutely incredible, and like he could be super rich, but he's not, just because he sticks to this like principle, and he's actually like he has to work now all the time.
Yeah, exactly. I think every penny he makes goes back into
because the studio itself costs a fortune to run. Like,
yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And he could have probably been a very wealthy man just from In Utero, I would say.
Which is a great album, by the way.
Well, like that's probably one of the ones he's more famous for, I guess. But he could be, you know, he could be living the life, but that's just not his bag, you know.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean. Incredible that in this day and age, or I don't know, for how long, like I suppose, like I wonder, has he ever been tempted to just go like, oh no, I'm gonna ask for the royalty now.
Yeah, I think it's
this is the one
now.
That I want a comfortable life with, you know.
I'm
gonna get Maroon 5 in singing a Bob Marley song.
Oh my God.
And sell it to the World Cup.
Tough going.
Albini's like, dollar signs, y'all.
But I think if Steve Albini, like, I think he actually, if Maroon 5 came to wanted to work with him, he'd just say yeah.
Do you think so?
That's
I
presume so, because that's his whole thing. He's like, if you can pay me.
What if someone hears this and like that ended up happening?
Maybe that's where he draws the line. Actually, I don't know. But he seems like a really interesting guy, and there's a really good interview with him with Marc Maron, and it's just him talking about his sort of the way he approaches, has approached his career and his ideology, kind of, you know.
Yeah, so get the in-depth there.
Yeah, and...
won't get it here.
The poker thing is interesting, like, because poker is kind of... I think in America especially, it is like a macho thing, isn't it? Like,
yeah, definitely. Like, it's gambling, like, you know, it's outplaying or outbluffing. And, poker is about the bluff, you know?
Yeah.
If you can convince everyone you have the best cards when you don't, I mean, that's the game.
Yeah. Like, I read it recently, just when that article came out, but I also heard from a guy who drove shellac around Scandinavia, I think.
Yeah, that's a place, yeah.
Definitely Sweden, anyway. I was pretty sure it was a place, but I think it was around Sweden, maybe Denmark, I can't remember. But, and he was saying that after the gig, he would just go onto Google and just type in casino and the name of the city.
No way.
And just he'd get a spin there then off the guy who was driving them, and he just stayed there all night playing poker.
Insomniac.
Yeah, I guess so.
It's a night game. Like, poker is the night game. Like,
yeah,
know? Like, it's mad people. You see,
I can't imagine trying to play poker like with money on the line. You know, when you're playing with your mates and there's like a fiver each or something.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I've won one tournament in Waterford. Yeah, when I was working as a croupier, and I won like a tournament with about 50 or 100 other people or something.
Really?
Just in a pub in Waterford.
Did you get a gold bracelet?
I didn't get a gold bracelet. No, I got £400, and then I lost it all playing in the casino cash game, playing Omaha, like souped up hold'em, and then I won it back on the cash table playing hold'em. So I just like, yeah, I came out on top anyway in Waterford.
Jesus.
So.
That's a vice I'd kind of like to have. I'd say it's amazing.
You wouldn't. Oh, God. It's very... Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people like it. I think tournaments are okay. But, like, if you get into that cash game world, it's like... Ooh,
CD.
Sick. Disgusting.
Yeah. But I know, like, the house always wins or whatever. But I'd say if you're good at gambling, I'd say it's a good bit of crack, like... You have to have it to be. You have to have it to lose, though, don't you?
Like, well, yeah. Well, when I did it, it was like the boom time. So everyone had like bloody, you know, builders had £1 billion a week or whatever, and there was young lads, and they were, you know, they didn't know what the hell they were doing. So they were just like fish, and then there was owl lads, just coming in and just taking their money at night when they'd waiting for them to come after the pub when they're sloshed, you know, and the casino's giving out like free drinks just for being there, and it's like,
casinos do that? I just thought that was Las Vegas.
No, there was one in Carlo anyway and you just, people used to just go there just because you could get free drink, but then also gamble blood, you know. Yeah. It's big. I think gambling is going to be the next big epidemic, the whole like Paddy Power stuff. I think RTE did a program about it recently with a guy from Carlo who like robbed the post office of like £1 million or something and gambled it on Paddy Power, and Paddy Power were bringing him like as a VIP to fucking every event under the sun just because he's like a high roller online. Jesus. And it's like, I think the gambling is going to be like, It's an issue. Like,
I nearly, well, I didn't nearly at all, actually. There was, during the Rugby World Cup, there was a bet. It was like, oh God, what was it? It was like 300-1 or something like that.
Leicester to win the Premier League.
No, it was, but it was the Rugby World Cup, and it was like 300-1 or something. Tadhg Furlong, who's like a prop, would score the first try of the Lions. Like the Lions.
Did he do it?
No, but he got unbelievably close. This is such a shit story. This is a bet I didn't make on something that didn't actually happen. But I just got really excited for a second. I was like, that was 300-1. If I put on €50, well, how much is that?
It's loads, Matt. I don't know. Like, what do you want me to do?
Get I don't know. Let You're me, a croupier.
I have head. I have an abacus back here somewhere.
But yeah, Steve Albini, interesting guy.
We got totally sidetracked.
Yeah, he's done some of my favorite albums, and I'm very jealous of Paul, a friend of mine who was in a band called Sylvan. I can't remember how you pronounce it, but I think it's Sylvan actually.
We'll correct that in the next episode. But yeah, so they went across.
They went over. Years ago. Yeah.
like, what are we talking, 10 years?
Easily, more, I'd say.
And they just were like, book the time.
Yeah.
And then we're like, fucking, let's save and, like, yeah, do this.
And they just went over, and I think they had a bit of crack, and they had a bit of crack with him. And this, I think they just said that he was really just, you know, he was just like, hello, I'm Steve, you know, and he just recorded their tunes, you know. It wasn't this big thing or anything. Like, and it wasn't particularly intimidating, I don't think, as far as I can remember.
Amazing.
But yeah.
And the stuff came out well.
Yeah. Well, we're going to find out right
now. Are we? Yeah.
Well, I've already listened to it, but yeah.
Yeah, I haven't already listened to it. This is not even available on the internet. This is an exclusive, I would say, for a lot of people.
Yeah, well, this may be the first time Sylvan has been played on a podcast. Anyway.
I would say podcasts didn't exist when they recorded this. True. So, yeah.
So, this is Sylvan with Pristine Porcelain Princess.
Yeah.
Okay, that was Dublin's own Sylvan with a Pristine Porcelain Princess, recorded by Steve Albini.
Can you believe it?
I can't.
And it was
in Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, Illinois.
Yeah.
It's a great knowledge of states and cities in America, yeah. Which is a great place.
Thanks very much.
But yeah, we don't know how long ago that was. Maybe you can help us out.
I'll find out. But it's at least 10 years ago, because I've known Paul longer than that. And it's been before I knew him, I think. So.
Yeah, yeah. And the people are still playing music now that were in that band, right?
Yes.
Paul.
I can't speak to the... Well, Kieran...
He's doing some stuff with Oil Bag, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't think he was on this album. I think he came later.
Oh, okay.
But Paul is still very much involved. Plays in a band with me.
Mm.
Shifting.
Two bands with you, I'd say.
Yeah. Totally forgot about it.
And the other band, Matt.
Yeah. Yeah, so continuing with our sort of tradition now of talking about other podcasts on our podcast.
Circle Jerk section.
Yeah, the Circle Jerk section. Crime Town. Have you seen Crime Town?
I have seen it, but it's in podcasts, so there was just one static picture and then loads of audio.
I realized when I said that. Will Tom notice I said Saw? But he did.
I'm sharp on the 4th of July, you know?
Sharp like a croupier. Did you listen to Crime Town?
Yeah, but it was a while ago, but I do remember it being incredibly enjoyable and one of those ones that you just kind of have to listen to.
It's a binger, big time.
Yeah.
It came out like 2 years ago, so probably a lot of people have seen it. It's the guys...
Seen it, Matt. They've seen it.
God! Did it,
somewhere on a list of podcasts you should definitely listen to and then listen to it, right?
I think I actually meant you've probably seen it on the internet and then then clicked on it and listened to it. But it's the two guys who were involved with doing the Jinx, the Robert Durst.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Mark Smerling and Zach Stewart Pontier.
Mark something...
Yeah, I was. Well, can you tell I was reading that? Obviously,
Smith.
But it's really, really well done, and it's seriously in depth. If people haven't seen the first season,
listen.
Oh my God! Three.
Come
times.
On, Matt.
It's incredible.
You can do this.
If people haven't heard it, yeah, listen to it. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter.
It's about a politician in Providence, Rhode Island, called Buddy Cianci. Who's basically mobbed up. And
totally.
But there's a lot more to it than that, and it's really interesting, and the characters in it are great. But, yeah, so a lot of people have probably heard it already, but there's a new season coming out, and the idea behind this show is that with each new season, they focus on a new city, which is really cool, kind of a really cool idea. But they're not saying which city it is yet. So I'm sure it'll be something that people aren't expecting, because if it's like, you know, fucking New York,
Baltimore or something.
Baltimore would be cool, but well, you know, it's just going to be all wild.
I'm always a bit wary when like producers of something great say, oh well, the second season is going to be completely different.
Oh yeah.
And
True Detective vibes. Like.
True Detective, you know, has me nerves rattled. After watching Vince Vaughn absolutely tearing shreds out of the whole acting sphere, you know.
I think I said, though, I was hopeful that I thought maybe that might be okay, but no.
I'm wary of it, but I'll probably still listen
it'll
to
be
it.
No, I think it'll be good, because the first season is really, really, really good and... really well done. It's great, and you know those guys obviously are of, you know, they're serious.
They're on it.
Yeah, they're
in the research realm. Unlike some people very close to being in this room might be.
Yeah, on the
research.
But you know, I prefer if it was like, you know, if it was about like Kansas City or somewhere weird that I don't know anything about. You know.
Yeah.
Like I'd never heard of that guy Buddy Cianci. I'd never heard about. Like, I didn't really even know Rhode Island was that kind of a mobby.
Yeah,
kind of
it really painted it as, like Goodfellas-y kind of vibe.
Completely.
Like, you know, it's like, this is where it happens. Whereas you might have put it in in New York City or in
Jersey,
or Jersey, yeah, or whatever. And but like this is,
It's really good, and you should check it out and keep an eye out. I think on Twitter they put up something recently saying the second season is on the way. But it is the kind of thing you could blast through season one in like in no time at all. It's really really good.
Do it.
Another one is In the Dark. Have you watched In the Dark? Oh my god.
Matt, we're gonna have to edit the fucking shit out of this.
No. You don't need to edit this.
I'm gonna like just put a beep in every time you say.
Okay, I'm never doing that ever again.
So
I don't know why I'm doing that.
So In the Dark, yeah? What in are we dark. Talking here? Listening wise.
The first season is about a child that goes missing in Minnesota.
Oh, so it's a serial again. I haven't listened to this.
It's really good. It's well, like you know, in anything which children go missing is like super.
Yeah, I do. I find it tough enough.
It is, and it's in like rural. You know, Minnesota, and it's just creepy. Like he goes to like I think the rough storyline without giving anything away is that he goes to rent a video, like from the video store.
Okay,
and he has this does this encounter with he's with his friends and does this encounter with this guy, and he just doesn't come back. And good. But the other kids do, and it's really really creepy. But it very much worth listening to, and I just started listening to the second season now, which is about this guy Curtis Flowers, who's been tried 6 times for the same crime. And it's
you mentioned this to me the other day, yeah, and I was like, oh, well, I thought there was the double jeopardy thing in America where you can't be tried for the O.J. Simpson. He got away with murder, can't be tried again.
They did explain that. I think it has something to do with statute of limitations, being inside it or something like that. But basically, it is a loophole, and it's like nothing has been done illegally. It's just the whole thing is kind of focused on how messed up and not fit for purpose the American justice system is, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Because they just
badly
want to lock him up because they don't want to lose face. The state doesn't.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So they're willing to do the stuff that they do to
they're bending. Their own laws,
big time,
kind of.
But it's really reminded me of the staircase. You actually do watch that one on Netflix.
I have watched that because that's really old, but it just appeared on Netflix recently. Yeah, that's like it's really old. It's one of the 90s, first kind of interesting, kind of true crime. How far have you gotten now? Have you gotten to the mad theory stuff yet?
No.
Okay, that's good. Oh yeah.
Because Tom was like, "Oh, it's some weird stuff," and it's like, "It's still this. It like it's just them going."
Maybe
oh, this is
it's
shit.
Something I read after it, but it's the owl thing. Anyway, if anyone knows about it, you know, and wants to do a spoiler, social media, Matt,
please don't
go on, wreck it, ruin it for him.
It's pretty good, but it is pretty good, but it is getting a bit like it's dragging ass a bit now. Like he's in jail and they're trying to get him out, and now he's pleading this, he's pleading that, and it's kind of
it's kind of bubblegum TV though, like you know it's another binge
but
it's like you know I don't know
something not right about him though.
As we said in the last one with the West Cork thing, when you have the main suspect and they're so open about stuff and that's always a bit creepy when they're talking so straight about these things, you know, that have had a huge effect on their lives, I suppose.
Yeah, he's there's something kind of unsettling about him. His eyebrows you say are a big part of it.
His eyebrows are definitely a part of it. Yeah. So you think he did it?
I don't know. He doesn't seem like
Let's
a
just
murderer.
Leave it at that.
check out The Staircase as well. That's pretty good. You can listen to that on Netflix.
Yeah, listen well, away. Turn the screen off or turn down your like yeah whatever
pretty hard to know what's
there's
going
another
on.
Few podcasts just as a quick shout out to on DDR they're hosting loads of great stuff these days and Reboot Republic Current and lots of other stuff so yeah check out DDR
cool. So you
back
have,
to Albini yeah
yeah you, yes. you have a suggestion a band that I didn't really when were they around?
I have no idea, but after looking at their Bandcamp, like, this is 2006. It was released, recorded in 2005. So what's that? Yeah, 13 years ago.
Yeah, and they're
so they're old enough.
And where are they? They're from Ireland, but
I think they might be Dublin. Like, Paul knew of them when I mentioned them, but no one else seems to remember them. But they're a two-piece bass and drums. And they played one time in Carlow in the Castle Tavern when I was like, I don't know, 19 or 18 or I don't know, something young.
Did it blow your little mind?
It was the greatest thing I had ever seen. It's like, it's a tiny pub, like tiny, but it's like the rock bar in Dublin. It's or in Carlow. It's an institution, like, you know, it's where you play like your gigs and stuff, but it's like amazing place. And yeah, they came there and it was so loud and amazing. Like, I'd never seen a bass and a bassist and a drummer make that much noise. And it's become way more prevalent that that's a setup of a band now, but that's the first time I had ever seen it, and it was like face melting.
Deli.
And yeah, let's play some of their music.
This is Boxes, another Dublin band who've worked with Steve Albini, and this one's called Bad Blood.
Boxes, Castle Tavern, 2007, I'm going to say. 2006. I'll just go with 2006. Anyway, one of the greatest gigs to ever happen in Carlow. And that's taken into account that Badly Drawn Boy got booed off stage and threw a chair at someone in the crowd.
Really?
Yeah, that happened, yeah.
In the same place?
He didn't play twice in Carlow.
No, I mean in the same bar, like.
No, not in the same bar.
Just, well, it doesn't matter where
back
it happened.
Back in the
it's
boom.
It's amazing.
Yeah. Anyway, that happened.
Where they like, what a play wanker. The About a Boy song again.
I don't know. He was getting terrible abuse from the four people who had showed up to this massive venue anyway. But
Jesus. Yeah,
the Music Factory was called. They got all the big lads in.
Well, that's enough about Badly Drawn Boy.
Boxes. Yeah.
Boxes, yeah. That was great. And hopefully this will be up in time
for
Thursday the 5th.
Are you listening on Thursday the 5th of July?
But Percolator, I've been playing a few gigs with the Bonk, and they're playing in the Bellow Bar, so you should check that out. I think they played in the Spirit Store in Dundalk recently, and they were in Belfast recently as well, and I think that they've been going down really well, but that should be that
and
should
they played
be a banger.
What's that festival? Body and Soul as well.
Yeah, I heard that went really well. They were on the Woodland stage.
Yeah, so
pretty cool one.
They're doing good stuff recently.
Yeah, and the Bonker Deadly as well, so that should be a good one.
There's probably loads of other gigs. You could check them out in your own time.
Well, that one is coming up, so you should check it.
That's check literally that it is tomorrow.
It is today or whatever, you know.
So if you're listening to this on the 6th of July.
Then Tom didn't do something right.
Then, yeah, there's been a real mess up somewhere in the computer said no or something along those lines.
Pretty much. But, yeah, so that's going to be about the size of it for this installment.
Hopefully we'll be back in another week.
That's the plan.
Or two. Yes. Or one.
So, one more song. And this is Alan is a Cowboy Killer by McCluskey.
Matt wouldn't let me play the other one. So,
what's the other one?
Good luck.
What? Oh, the
you know the one.
Yeah, I know the one.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.
Cowboy Killer!